Alright, so this is class 8 of the Sedona Method, last class. So let's start out with the same pranayama as we did last time. You want to do that? Is that too much? Is that good?
You mean the Wim Hof?
Too much? Know.
Yeah, because my stomach's so queasy.
Yeah.
You could do it, and I might just do something, you know, the one with the chin, the chest,
okay.
And I'll do that.
Good, all right, good. Yeah. Okay, so 3 rounds.
Okay.
Ready? Okay, here we go. First round. So 30 breaths. Here we go. Okay, let it all out. When you get done to 30, let everything out and hold it out for as long as you can. Okay.
Is it
20 seconds?
20. That's what I thought.
Hold it in and then let everything out, and then we'll start round 2. Here we go. Thank you. Round three. Go ahead. So we're going to do some pranayama, and this is the pranayama that we do for what we call Kriya Yoga, which is a part of the teachings of Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda. And so this is the same thing that we did last class. You're gonna breathe in slowly and deeply into your belly. And as you breathe in, you're going to imagine cool air going up your spine or up just up the front of your spine, right in front of the spine, like 2 centimeters, or you could just also visualize it going up your spine. And when you get to the top of the breath, your attention should be on the crown of your head. And then when you start the out breath, you start descending warm, flowy energy down your spine until you get to the bottom of your out breath. And then when you start to breathe in again, it's cool air going up your spine. And if you can feel it, great. If you can't, you can just imagine like a white light that on the way up is like a cool white color as you breathe in, going up your spine. And then as you breathe out, it changes to like a warm color, like a yellow or orange as it goes down your spine to the base of your spine. And then breathe in again, slowly. Going up the spine till you get to the top of the breath, and then breathe out slowly and let it go down the spine as a warm glow or warm flowy sensation. And keep going. Slow, deep breaths and relaxed. Relax your whole body as you do it. Thank you. Let's wrap it up. Any questions about that part? Okay. So, we're going to do some releasing now. And this is part Sadhana method and part my own practice. So, we'll see how it goes. Kind of an experiment. So close your eyes and think of something that has been bothering you that you want to be free of. Could be anything. And just imagine it. Imagine being in that problem and the suffering that comes with it. And see if there's an emotional element to it. And if there is, dislocated in the body, the sensation of that emotion, that, or that contraction or resistance. And just go into that, feel it, and let it come up. Just let it be there. And breathe into it without wanting or trying to change it in any way. Just breathe into it. And just let it be there as it is. And breathe into it. Some more. And breathe into it. And let it dissolve if it wants to dissolve. Ask it if it wants to dissolve and leave. And if it does, just let it leave. Let it dissipate and dissolve. And breathe into it. Don't need to try to change it. You don't need to push it away or pull it towards you. Just let it be there as it is. And breathe into it. And check in with it and see if it is any different than it was before. And if it's still there, just breathe into it. Slow, deep breaths. Just letting it be as it is. Without trying to control it or change it. Honoring that it has served you in some way. But now you're ready to be free of it. So just let it dissolve as you breathe into it. And more. Just breathe into it slowly. And let go. And let go of it some more. And just simply let go of all of it. And if it's still there, or some small part of it is still remaining, then I'll ask you, could you let it go? Could you decide to let it go? And would you let it go? When? And see if there's any remaining of this sensation, this emotion. Could you decide to let it go? And would you decide to let it go? And when would you do that? Just let go of the whole body now. Just relax. the whole body at once. And empty out any tension or contractions. Just for now, you can go back to them later if you want. Just for now, empty everything out. And let go completely. As much as you can. Whatever you can do is enough. So just let go some more. Empty everything out. And more. And more. And more. And just remain here as the witness. And whatever you're feeling now could be more contraction, or it could be a really good feeling, like peace, or unity, or harmony, whatever it is you're feeling. See if you can, just for now, let go of that too. And more. And let go even more. And even more. And now we're going to bring up the fear of dying that each one of us has tucked deep inside of our subconscious. So one way to do that is to say to yourself, I don't want to die. And when you say that to yourself, there might be an emotion that comes up, or a contraction in the body, or some kind of resistance. So go ahead and say that to yourself. I don't want to die. Let's just see what comes up. And whatever comes up, just let it be there. Could you let this go? could you decide to let it go? Would you decide to let it go? When? Now go back to it again. I don't want to die. What does that bring up in you? See if it brings up some kind of contraction or an emotion or some kind of resistance. And let that be there. Just let it come up and be as it is. Could you decide to let that go? Would you let it go? When? And one more time, we're going to bring up our fear of dying. So say to yourself, I don't want to die. What does that bring up? See if there's a contraction in your body. And just let it surface and be there. Could you decide to let it go? And would you decide to let it go? And when? And if you have any resistance to the crazy honking person outside, let that come up. Be there. And let it dissolve however you see fit. And so let's go back to the fear of dying one more time. See if there's any emotional charge to not wanting to die, to wanting to push the idea of death away, resisting the transient nature of the body. By saying, I don't want to die. See if that brings up an emotional element. And let it come up, whatever it is, and just let it be there. Could you let it go? Would you let it go? When? And check in with yourself and see how you are doing, how you are being. And give yourself some appreciation and some love for doing this possibly difficult work. Some gratitude for showing up to yourself. And give yourself a little bit more love and gratitude. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And just think about how incredible you are. How miraculous your beingness is. And give yourself a little more love and appreciation. And you can dedicate this practice to helping all beings awaken out of their suffering. Or you can dedicate it to one individual, if you like. Okay. It's slowly wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes and come back into the room. How's it?
I would say tough.
Tough?
Yeah. I was already feeling nauseous, but like the nausea was really strong. I was like almost at one point thinking I might run out the door.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because it's like a really kind of like
yeah.
heavily laden with anxiety feeling. Like, so, whoa, the stomach was like, whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was still, I mean, by the end though, you know, when you were adding the, you know, the compassion love at the end, then everything was just like melting.
Oh, okay.
So
all right,
it's
good.
Not
all right. Okay.
Yeah, so it was like.
Yeah, maybe that's not so good to do when your stomach is hurting.
Yeah. But it's all fine. I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah.
The release was more complete.
Was it?
Yeah, because there's more phases to it.
Okay, all right.
It makes it more solid.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I had a bit difficulty in bringing the fear of death.
Okay.
To Noah. I'm sure I'm afraid of death.
Okay.
I could not bring it.
Sure.
It wasn't easy to
I understand, yeah.
Feel it.
Yep. I think it's possible that it's easier to bring up the fear of dying when you're really elevated. That's what Lester Levinson said, and that's been my experience too. So you can try it when you're feeling really high, you know, after a meditation or something.
Yeah.
Or after
not that fast.
Smoking a bowl.
Anyway, yeah, that's your choice, yeah. Okay.
Whatever it takes.
Or after the Wim Hof breathing, for example. You can get
or after the Wim Hof breathing,
high.
Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. Also what I noticed about the fear of dying is that I had also the reverse of that. So I released my fear of dying, the fear of dying. And then I realized there was something else in there. So I turned it around and I said, I want to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a desire to die as well as a fear of dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can
okay,
you say
so
that
again?
Yeah.
There's a desire to die.
Okay.
I didn't want to say it, but
as well as a fear of dying. So in other words, like I really want to get the hell out of here.
Mm.
That kind of thing. Like because this life is suffering, right?
Mm.
So I want to get rid of this body. I want to detach from the body.
Mm.
You could put it that way. That's a wanting to die. It's wanting the body to, or wanting to die to the body, or wanting the body to die. So when I reversed it, I said, I really want to die. I noticed that also brought up a bunch of emotions to release.
Right.
So you could do it that way as well.
I always read, since I'm a kid, a lot about death, and I was really obsessed with reading books about it. And I'm actually curious. It's not so much the wanting to leave this, like, because I'm still very curious about what is here.
Right.
But I'm curious about what is on the other side.
Right.
But
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm sure there's a fear.
Just go to the edge of a cliff and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, think
exactly.
about jumping off.
Yeah.
I mean, don't, obviously don't.
And when I do think about
don't jump off a cliff.
I always think about what I leave and who is going to suffer with that. Not necessarily my suffering, but.
Yeah, right.
I always think about, you know, oh
yeah.
my God, that would be awful for a living. That
right.
would be, you know.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a process, interesting.
Brings up attachments, right? Not just to this body, but to other bodies.
Yeah.
So, or you can, you know, very common thing to do in Buddhism, at least in the tradition that I studied, is death meditation. And that's one of the first, death meditation, it's one of the first things we learned to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is you bring up the fear of dying through a death meditation. You get used to the idea of dying. So
is that next week then? Yeah, I'm up for it.
If you, we could do that if you want. I wasn't
do
thinking
we have
about
to go to a cliff?
Presenting that. No, I mean, it's an interesting. The one I learned is very interesting. You go through a castle, and there's a bunch of things that happen. It's like a, it's an imaginative journey through things that will scare the piss out of you, you know, and you go through that until you get to. You go through the scary things, and then you come into this like palatial thing. And it's very interesting. I haven't done it in probably a decade, but anyway, if you want to, we can try it. I kind of think it's easier just to keep it simple and concentrate on.
But who would be saying the things that are supposed to scare us?
Sorry?
You imagine in the castle, but we imagine ourselves the things that would scare us.
So we go through this.
Or you're saying things that.
No, we go through. We go through this imagination.
Okay.
You can learn this, and you can do this on your own. Or like a dog, like a big dog, like up in your face, like about ready to chew your head off, like that kind of stuff. It's like watching a scary movie, kind of, right? And you're just facing your shadow. You're facing the fear side of. So it brings up all of these fear elements that you otherwise wouldn't notice, and forces you to confront them and do something about them. So hopefully release them.
That's interesting.
Anyway, we could try that if you want. But I prefer just to access it directly, just by asking simple questions. So you could try that when you're feeling really up. See what happens. And the other thing I wanted to just talk about is releasing the positives as well as the negative things that we don't like. The emotions that we want to be free from. Also the releasing on peace and unity feelings and because these are also still conceptual. So we want to go beyond, ultimately we want to go beyond the conceptual mind. So if you're feeling really good, then you're still identifying with the body.
That's okay.
And that's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
It's totally okay. I want to stay there for some time.
Okay, sure, sure.
But I would
encourage you just to release those positive feelings and see if it gets any better.
Okay.
You don't have to let go of the body just yet. Don't worry about the body. Just release the emotions. So if you have a really happy emotion, release that and see if you get more happy.
Really?
100% guarantee you will get more happy if you release your happy emotions, or whatever you want to call them. I don't really call them emotions. Why is that? Why is that? That we get lighter and more free and more happy as release positive.
Because you're not wanting and you're just being.
Yeah, exactly.
Just being yourself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You are.
Exactly. You're being more of yourself. Your true nature shines through the more you let go. So, and it's very easy to get attached to our ideas of happiness and abundance and love and all these things.
Yeah, because we have our own idea about that.
Exactly.
And that it might just be minimizing it.
Exactly. We still have a limited sense of what it really could be. We still have the piece of the pie that we're experiencing is like this, but there's all this.
Our mental.
So this we call this happiness here, but then there's all this happiness which is infinite. And so
it's like that thing of the Ho'oponopono thing. When I read it, I discovered this technique of emotional release. And I resonated with it, but I hated it in the beginning because it was like, you start by forgiving whoever screwed you up. Okay? So you forgive. And worse than that, you apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
No way, what is this? You know? And then, of course, I know after some, it was obvious. I was saying what, but I was already getting the answer. And it's just about releasing also your sense of victim. And then I tried it, and it's incredible. It's from Hawaii. You should guys should research that. It's really good, really amazing.
I realized that.
Because we have the this concept of... anyway, I got lost now. But yeah, I think there's something there that is related to this technique, of what you were explaining, the concept that we have. And for me it was about, you know, when I confronted myself with the perspective of apologizing to these persons, I had a lot, but it was very attractive at the same time. It was very, you know, pushing me away from it, but at the same time very attractive. So I just tried it, and then by trying it is like you're diluting the concept that you have about what you are feeling. You're diluting it.
That's the interesting place to be, you know, that friction between
which is the same
that
it's talking
like,
about.
Oh yeah, I want a bit more of that change, you know?
And then I tried it, and honestly,
incredible.
It's incredible.
I realized that I had done that before.
Okay.
I didn't know what it was.
That
it was presented by, it wasn't, I don't think it was Hawaiian, it was something else.
Okay.
Or maybe someone presented it as something else. But,
No, the first guy that started doing it was in Hawaii, but now other people do. And other people got known
for doing it.
You know, and wrote books and all that.
Yeah. I know, I think it's very, very good.
But it's a tradition, it's a tribal thing from Hawaii.
Right.
That they used to do normally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it's great. It's great. Anything that is forgiveness based is good, you know.
Yeah, but I've been focusing in forgiving others, you know, and suddenly you're asking for forgiveness.
Oh,
it was very intense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Because a lot of times we still have this subtle sense of arrogance about we're right.
Exactly.
We're the one that was right in the situation. And so, you know, we can forgive them because, you know, we're bigger than they are, or whatever.
We're right because we were wronged.
Yeah, because we were wronged, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, and then, so that puts them, if you're asking for forgiveness, then that puts your whole ego into question, because then you're giving yourself the possibility that maybe you made a mistake or that you were in the
wrong. You also fed the situation that, you know, to that situation. So many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also you can also use this to apologize to your inner child, to your being, to your body, to planet Earth, you know, whatever relationship. It's very profound.
Yeah. Cool. So one thing I wanted to talk about was what I call the empty state. And the empty state is something that happens when you release enough, then you have this feeling that you're not filled with anything anymore. And I don't know if you guys have experienced this before, but I think it's maybe a good idea to present the possibility of it. So it just is like a constant release. So if you know what the feeling of releasing is, right? And if you just keep going with that, if you have some time to yourself, you could just keep going and keep releasing and releasing and releasing. And then you might at some point get to where you just can't. You're completely in a state of release. And there's nothing left. There's nothing to do. And you're just being. And there's nothing left to release because it's all emptied out. You might have small snippets of this experience. If you do get it, it can go in and out of it. And or you can stay for longer periods of time depending on how much you release. But, you know, a lot of these practices can have diminishing returns, where we practice the method and then it doesn't work so much for us anymore. But with this Sedona method and similar practices, what I've noticed is that that if I keep doing it daily, then it gets deeper and deeper, and there are no diminishing returns. It just gets better and better. So that's something to think about, because we can forget about the practice and go and just go back to our lives and go back to our default state. And, you know, it was a nice experience, but I have my life to live, and, you know, and that's fine. You know, you could do that. But I'm here to tell you that you can keep going with it, and it will get deeper and better and more profound as you do it. If that's your thing, and if it's not your thing, then it's perfectly fine too. But you can, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is the empty state. In my experience, it's the empty state, and it is worth the so-called effort of doing this. Getting used to doing this practice on a daily basis. And you don't need to do it when you're alone. You can do it when you're with other people.
What do you mean?
You can do it
like
when you're with your friends or with your family. you can just release in any at any point. And when you're talking to someone, you can release as you're talking to them, or you can, as you're doing work or something, like if you're doing the dishes, you can release that consciously as you're doing the dishes. And it really helps with everything. So, and it also will help your meditation practice, as I talked about before. And yeah, so that they will feed into each other. Your meditations and pranayama will feed into your releasing, and your releasing will feed into your meditations and pranayama. And then you'll go in the upward spiral and just keep going up gradually, and in a constant way. So that's about it. Anybody have any questions?
I'm very grateful for doing this and for having your teachings.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a revolutionary concept to me, and I really enjoyed it.
Great, thank you.
I think it's part of me. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it every day.
Sure, great. I'm happy to hear that.
What comes up for me when you talk about that last part is that, because I would feel like I would have a tendency to like, phew! Yeah, I said this before, you know, just pop out of my body and can I find my way back kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, so when you talk about that state, an empty state, I'm like, I feel like yeah. Not again. Like,
it's not that. It's not that.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That's dissociating.
Okay.
And that dissociation comes from doing practice in the wrong way, or staying in your head.
Okay.
This is a very grounding practice. So you're not gonna, if you leave your body, it's not gonna be in that scary way. It's gonna be in an amazing way.
Okay.
All right. So there are other ways to leave your, there are different ways to leave your body, okay? And this is the most grounded practice that I've ever done.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of these crazy practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been where you are talking about, and it's horrible, but this is not that. This is super grounded and free and harmonizing. Mm-hmm. It's not dissociation at
super
all.
Grounded is good. Because when I think of meditation, to me in the past, my idea of meditation is not grounded. It's like...
Yeah. So the problem with meditation teachers is they don't really know what they're doing when they're teaching this stuff. And because you have to really experience what meditation really is before you can teach it, and a lot of people don't. They just try to teach it, or they just present it online or something in a video, and they really have no idea what they're talking about. And then a lot of people get this wrong impression about what is meditation. Meditation is the most grounding thing you could ever possibly do. And it's not trying to leave your body. It's just quieting the mind. And when you quiet the mind, when the mind is fully quiet, there is no more body.
Yeah.
But you're not you're not dissociating from the body.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything about the body. You just forget about it. And then everything dissolves into this bliss void. This void wisdom, and yeah, it's super grounded because it's you. It's you, and you're not trying to. You know, I think that's why a lot of these Advaita Vedanta teachers teach the pathless path. You know, Jiddu Krishnamurti taught the pathless path. H.W.L. Punja taught no path, no teacher, no teaching. Only the I am, only self-inquiry. There's no path, no method, you know. And I think the reason they taught this way is because it's that simple. Not easy, but simple. Because it really is that simple. And we confuse ourselves with all these techniques and methodologies. It's very easy to get confused about it, and then we try really hard, we're practicing and we're using all this effort, and we're not going anywhere with it, because we're doing it the wrong way. We're trying to get somewhere with it. So usually the road to dissociation is through ambition. It's trying really hard to, you know, attain some kind of awakened state, instead of just letting go and seeing what you really are, you know. That's also really important when you talk about dissociation versus real meditation. Real meditation is a more or less via the via negativa, as we talked about before. It's a letting go. It's not an accumulation. It's a letting go. It's a releasing. It's all releasing. And then if you release and release and release, there's no dissociation, because you're letting go of Maya. You're letting go of the illusion. And dissociation is being stuck in the illusion. So, just release and release and release, and keep going and going and going, and it gets better and better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spent many years in having problems with this, what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have to do like specific grounding meditations that I learned, Zen meditations. Mm-hmm. Because I would go into retreat and I would have this happen to me. And this learning the Sedona method was part of letting go of that for me. So yeah. And you know, it's a problem that a lot of people have, and people associate meditation with this dissociation, and they don't want to do it. They hear the word meditation and they want to run away from it, because they think it's like spacing out. Mm. It's because they heard it from someone, or they practiced the practice that someone taught them, that they didn't know what they were doing. It's unfortunate, but it happens with all these methodologies. Even in yoga it happens, you know, people don't teach it the right way and people get hurt. That's not what the yoga is about, you know. You can't hurt yourself releasing.
I'm going to start with releasing the fear of dissociating.
It's
a good start.
Cool.
But yeah, I also value your experience in teaching, because yeah, that's really super valuable what you just said to me there. It's probably saved me like 10 or 20 or a lifetime, you know.
Right, hopefully.
Struggling.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Great. So let's wrap it up here.